and social development as open and also welcome all our guests, including our partners in the form of the Gender Commission, in the form of the Human Rights Commission. All those representatives are indeed very welcome. However, they have not been formally introduced. We then make an assumption that they might have responded to our call, although I have already able to identify some that have already arrived. And I'm quite aware that some are still on the way. I also want to precisely welcome our provinces for heeding this call. We know that provinces are an integral part of this committee. In fact, everything has to do with us as a collective, as a body, not indeed as partners, but as actually one body that has got elements from national to a village. So you're coming to us today so that we can understand whether we're still marching together or whether we are achieving our goals or whether we have challenges that might be at a national, provincial, and local, including village, so that we can always be able to plan together, to unblock, and also to work together. The members of this portfolio committee are not necessarily really being welcomed because that's where they belong. They are back to their work. But specifically, to appreciate that you left your constituencies, honorable members. We know that you spend a lot of time in Parliament doing parliamentary work, including the oversight, legislation, assessment, etc. But you have been able to come. We are very happy that our duty to make our oversight possible is being implemented in such a manner. The Department of Social Development and your entity, SASSA, you are very important to us. That's why we have gone out of our way, acting DG, to call members from their schedule, as scheduled by Parliament, to be here and provide a platform for SASSA to account. Remember, SASSA, acting DG, we have a new system that we are putting in place. The arrangement between SASSA and SAPO. And we had an agreement earlier on that there will be weekly updates to the portfolio committee. So members of parliament, portfolio committee members here are supposed to get that update. But we felt very strongly that we needed them back to actually listen and not get a written update, but to listen to the acting CEO about how are we doing in this new marriage between SASSA, which is a Department of Social Development entity and a vehicle to feed the poor and to take care of the needy and to ensure that have not have something to take home once a month. So we want to hear that. So you are very, very welcome. But indeed, what has also prompted us as the chair and the secretary of this committee is the fact that social development is actually responsible to protect the vulnerable. In this case, women, elderly, and the young, in the form of children. For quite some time, we can see that every other social media, news media, media houses, they are reporting consistently on rape of babies, infants of 18 months, and brutal killing of them, to an extent of actually attacking families with rifles, actually kidnapping children for ritual purposes, to use them. So this is, if there is cash in transit, if there's what, it involves our children. But of late, the reality is that the mothers in South Africa and the parents in South Africa are not very, very up-to-date, capacitated to look after these vulnerable. You find children being burnt in a home when they were alone. Alone. Only neighbors can testify what actually happened. We see as parliament, because this is an extension of parliament, on a very, very important portfolio committee, social development, that it's really taking us steps backwards in terms of a ability to live up to the Children's Act and all the United Nations pronouncements on the issue of protection of children and the vulnerable in particular. It also goes totally against the will and the desire of the ruling party, because the ruling party went to elections with a manifesto that was precisely clear on their agenda on protecting the vulnerable in this country. That's why we have got a minister, that's why we have got a department, a ministry, that's why we have this portfolio committee to fulfill that manifesto that says they will be safe in our hands. And this is the reason why we thought, let's convene, let's recall all members from their constituencies to be here so that we can be briefed by these Chapter 9 institutions about, do they know what we know? Are they observing what we see is escalating? But I'm not going to make a mistake and believe this is a workshop. No, no. We are requesting the chairs of these Chapter 9 institutions, the Gender Commission, Human Rights. SASA was to present first, because all SASA issues are gender issues, are human rights issues. So they would present, if the people go hungry, if they can't get their pension, it becomes a human rights issue. That's why we said, let's be under one roof. But on the part of the gender and human rights commissions, we are not indeed requesting you to make a presentation as when we want to conduct an oversight. But we want a better understanding to confirm whether our political observation that there's escalation or there is this a new problem that affects our children is true, because we've got better lenses to look into that. If indeed you agree with us, you will also because we're making that allegation. It is a thumb suck. It's not researched. But as politicians, our observation must always be confirmed by those who are hands-on on a particular program. That is why we requested you to please take us, update us, and also say, if it is true, what are your challenges? What is it that we must come out of this meeting and tell the South Africans? We must go and pronounce ourselves as to, in the Eastern Cape, it has happened, it's happening, it's increasing. Whether in Mthwalume, whether in Soweto, whether all over in our provinces. That's why provinces are to provide, honorable members, honorable MCs. Please assist us to just, because I don't know whether you've actually made one document, because we don't want really to be necessarily, we want information from yourself to say, we also experienced the challenge, and therefore, we will have a unified of saying, how do we respond in order for us to embrace the poor, and also to be listening to the manifesto of the ruling party, as well as this portfolio committee having to respond to the United Nations international agreements. You know the best, that what have we ratified, what are we signatories in, that's better known by those who implement. Now we can always take it as a political enforcement to ensure that we comply. So the meeting of today is to address those. But in the seeing that SASSA has not actually confirmed to us how they are going to address us to give us what we require from them, which is the report about the functioning of their marriage, and that those children are now being nursed better in the hands of the new marriage, moving away from the marriage of SASSA and the CPS, which will end in the next 2 months, but indeed ensuring that the new mother that is coming in is actually hitting the ground running, which is the post office. So we want to get that now. And if the post office is not going to go well, we are not saying they are not. We're saying if, because we have not been briefed. So if they are not doing well, we must be saying, coming out of this meeting, what must be done? How should they be able to satisfy our assessment that they should be hitting the ground running, as well as the MECs or representatives from our provinces? Because that's where the activity takes place. That's in the provinces and villages where our people live. They must also be able to update us as to, indeed, in our provinces, this is doing very, very well. And we look forward to parting ways with CPS, knowing fully that we are fully covered on the ground. And our people are saying, yes, we are in good hands. Yes, we are in the bosom of SASSA, and the department is doing well. So that's why we are here today. Without further ado, let me now go back to the issue of asking all members to introduce themselves. Now, because I'm limited in terms of going through the protocol, let me request provinces first to do so. We will have to understand whether other provinces are not here, whether they have sent apologies or whatever, but let's do ourselves favor by asking members to officially introduce themselves, starting from the provinces. Can I give two provinces? You will mention your province and your position. I already see the MEC. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Committee, good morning. Gift Van Staden, I'm the MEC for Social Development in the Northern Cape.
Can we put our hands together? Yeah.
Morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm Dr. Phumza Dyantyi. I'm the MEC for Social Development in the Eastern Cape.
Can we put our hands together? Dagan Coven. Any other...
Good morning, Members, Honorable Members. I'm Albert Fritz and I'm the MEC in the Western Cape.
Yeah. You paid less in your travel. See the other provinces, and we make an assumption that we will get the apologies. But participation through apology does not help a lot, because the paper doesn't participate. We will then request honorable members. I can see Honorable Van der Merwe, can I request you to come this side? Otherwise, when you lift your hand, I won't be able to notice you are an honorable. I think you are also an official. Mabo Masango, and Funi Kuni Buda, Tela Nizengapa, yes, Honorable Daddy, can members sit one side so that when they want to say something, I have no doubt, I know that it's an honorable member. Because I don't plug up a phone, anybody wants technology, go on with that. So can we proceed to the DSD? Oh no, all SODs are representatives of provinces. Yes, please, can you please, because it's either an MEC or, yes, HOD, or if you are both, it must be mentioned. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, I'm Ntombi Bart, HOD, Eastern Cape, Akamend, MEC.
Kanti ke ngenihleli nobabini phana no MEC kuba ezinye officials zihlala no minister. Wenze baxa senibuzwa liphendule ngokufanayo. Any other HOD?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members. I'm Drini Sampson and I'm the HOD for DSD in the Northern Cape, accompanying my MEC.
Please join your MEC. Thank you very much. That is a parcela to actually have an HOD as well. Okay, sir.
Morning, Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Pauline Masalela, HOD in Mpumalanga. An apology should have been sent yesterday from my MEC, Ms. Shiba. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You are very welcome. So please join other members, because the issues that we are going to discuss briefly are issues that you should have a collective thinking about it as a department, from national to the village. So you are very welcome.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Nokutula Khanyile, HOD Social Development, KwaZulu-Natal, and I would like to tender an apology for MEC2C due to medical reasons she couldn't make it.
Thank you very much. You are very welcome. I request the department to sit one side, please, because when we acknowledge your hands and your input, you can converse amongst yourselves, because really, really, there is nothing like a report, much, but something that is very special on children, women, and elderly people. Now that we have ourselves out, can DSD
HOD Western Cape, Robert MacDonald, accompanying the MEC.
You're sitting on the right side. Thank you very much. But thank you very much for introducing yourself. We might have said things about you, not knowing that you are here. Thank you very much.
Members of Parliament?
No, we know them. There's no point of members introducing themselves because you are new. You have been in this committee. If MECs don't know you, I'll be worried, but please do so. The secretary insists that what if the members from the provinces don't know you? So please take that platform for me.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Good morning. My name is Angel Kanyile. I'm coming from Mpumalanga. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairperson. My name is B.F. Abrams, and I come from Gauteng. Thank you.
Sherilyn Dudley. I'm a member of the National Assembly. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Bridget Masango. I come from Gauteng and the member of the committee.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Liesel van der Merwe, and I'm a member of this committee.
Honorable Kappa, the chairperson of this committee, can I allow the technical support that Parliament offers to us and make us a little bit perfect to introduce your team and your title?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, the MEC, the provincial officials in the department. My name is Lindy Wenzabo. I'm the committee secretary of this committee. We have a support team, Noso Komnyovu, the committee assistant. She's a lady that is busy right now. We have our committee researcher, Siyavuya Koyana Kodula. She can just raise her hand. She also supports the committee with research work. We have another person that she's on maternity leave. Her name is Yolisa Nokenga. Thanks very much.
Acting DG, can I request the Office of the Minister to introduce yourselves? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Maybe let me first start by saying that we have a formal apology from the Minister, Susan Chabango, who is attending the Cabinet today. And after today, she's going to Northwest for our responsibility there with that province, Chairman.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Dan Sambamba. I am the Parliamentary Liaising Officer in Minister Chabango's office.
Can I move with the rest of the team?
Yes, please.
My name is Mzolisi Toni. I am the acting DG for the Department of Social Development.
Just move. Don't think about seniority this time. Just introduce yourselves.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Tiri Maha, from National Department of Social Development, and I'm Chief Director of Child Protection.
Come again, your portfolio? Child Protection. All right.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, the committee members, the officials, as well as the members of the media. My name is Nelly Swatwagiso from the National Department of Social Development, Director of Child Protection.
This is Nelly Gagush, who was spot on. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, Heads of Department and MEC. I'm Jablan Makondo, Acting CIO from SASA. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm Henry de Graaf, from the Western Cape SASA region, acting regional executive manager.
Yes, Susconi, we're coming your side.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members and MECs. My name is Connie Mamalo. I'm the DDG responsible for welfare services. Thank you. The Department of Social Development.
I think we are now through with the apologies. Oh, okay.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, MECs and HODs. I'm Diane Dunkely. I'm the Executive Manager responsible for Grants Administration at SASA.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Members. My name is Osborne Masilela, and I am Chief Director, Intergovernmental Relations, Executive Support and International Relations. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members, MECs. My name is Angie Makwetla, and I am from the South African Human Rights Commission. I am the Commissioner looking after children's rights and migration. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You are very welcome. I now understand that children are really covered. We will go direct to that portfolio, we are now ready to receive reports. But can I also make an emphasis, Acting DG, that please connect with the CEO of SASA to give us a direction, because we want this accountability. He must be able to say how is he going to ensure that we live here having heard from the chief operations officer of SASA. Because that's what we're here for, indeed. And then old, even before he was still in another portfolio, that is what indeed he knows, that they were supposed to be a monthly update. So we would want to have this also in writing, because while we have limited time, we also want to read and express ourselves in the media, not necessarily Tina. We have been elected, we are representatives of the people. We want to say it ourselves, that this is what is taking place, and therefore that's why we want to get it in writing and verbally, so that we don't misrepresent SASA as a parliament. Now, time has come, or there is also an apology for two honorable members. Three, they are writing examinations. They are around Cape Town. They will be here probably after 12 to catch up with us, and Honorable Sonti as well. Malchas is not well, who is the ANC. So we have received from the acting DG only of the minister. We know that they are in cabinet as the deputy as well. Once there's a cabinet, they will also be there too, because they are cabinet members. We expected them. We accepted the apologies of the provinces that have not come to this meeting. Can we then allow the chair, the responsible for human rights and having everything with the children? And when you make your presentation, we really have limited time, because members must fly back to their constituencies. But at the same time, I'm happy that the department is here, because we don't only deal with statistics. We want to know the statistics very well, but we want to be able to be assured what to pronounce. Where should our people go? When they are under such a threat, they are perishing, where should they go? What is Parliament directing them to do? We want to be able to verbally say that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Can I start off by conveying greetings from our chairperson, who advocate Bongani Majola, who has tasked me to look after children's rights, and that is why when the invitation came from the portfolio committee, I was seen as the most suitable person to come and do the presentation. Now, in view of the time, I will take you through the slides that we have presented, that we have prepared. So let me start off by just appreciating this opportunity. You see, Chairperson, the South African Human Rights Commission chief mandate is to hold departments accountable. Our job as a Chapter 9 institution is an oversight job. So accountability is very, very important to us. So when we are called and we meet with our colleagues, it gives us an opportunity to really talk to the leaders in Parliament, talk amongst ourselves, so that in the end we can hold hands and address these issues because they concern us. They concern us all as South Africans. So this portfolio committee, and that is why we welcomed the invitation, because we normally interact with the portfolio committee on justice, but the portfolio committee on social development is a critical stakeholder to the South African Human Rights Commission. Now, we are working very hard on setting up a dedicated child rights unit within the South African Human Rights Commission. And it's very important to us, Chairperson, because it will enable this Office of Child Rights to have its own dedicated social workers. We will have our own dedicated investigators, so that when we have an issue, I'll give you a quick example. I had a call from a very frantic officer in our housing office to say there is a child that has a disability, and this child was being bitten by rats because they couldn't run away when the rats attacked them. They lived in an informal settlement. And we battled, because we cannot just go and remove a child without the presence of SAPS, without the presence of a social worker. So when we have our own social workers, we will be able to react quickly. Because when a child is in crisis, there is no time to be running helter-skelter looking for help. And this child rights unit is thus very important to us. We work very closely with the Commission on Gender Equality to deal with the effects of gender-based violence on children. Because as you rightfully said, Chairperson, in your introduction, that anything that affects the human rights of adults, of parents, the children suffer. So it's important that we work with the Commission on Gender Equality so that we can address these issues. Because gender-based violence is getting very serious. It needs our concerted efforts, and we as the human rights then come in and we look after the children to make sure that the children are not affected negatively. Then we have early child marriages. Though this falls within the mandate of the Commission on Gender Equality, it is important that we work with CGE in order to identify synergies, because we cannot have children of 12, 13, 14 years getting married. And then, of course, there's the issue of sexual assault on children. I was hoping that Commissioner Nissen, who works in the Western Cape office, would be here with me. I think he's running late. But he calls me almost on a daily basis. Whenever there is an assault on a child, he calls me, he is in tears, and we then see what we can put together in order to alleviate the plight of these children. But then our hands are tied. When it becomes a set issue, we have to stand back to get the police to do their work. The next issue, Chairperson, that concerns us is ukuthwala, which deals with the abduction of children and forced marriages. So we are concerned about that. We are working on it. But most important, we can do everything, but if we do not attend to the issue of empowering parents, we need to empower parents so that they know the rights of their children, so that they know that when something is wrong, they can say no. But they should not only say no, they should know where to go. So our duty as the South African Human Rights Commission is to do ongoing advocacy, ongoing education. We go to schools, we go to churches, we hand out posters, we hand out, and we talk to parents because we need to empower them. And then the assaults and killing of children with albinism. That is also a very serious issue. We had a dialogue once where we called these children. Because when I came on board as commissioner, I then resolved that we will listen to the children. Because oftentimes we as adults think we know what the children want. We think we know what is wrong with the children. And we know nothing. We must listen to the voices of the children. So we got a few children who live with albinism, we got them into our conference room, and we said to them, talk to us. And they talked to us in various ways, including poetry. And one of them actually said, we want to tell members of the communities that we live in that we are not your good luck charm. We are not your muti. Because we do have an ethical community healers who then perpetuate the myth that body parts of children living with albinism bring good luck. For example, recently in Mpumalanga in February, there were bodies of two children living with albinism that were found. Now, because children are the most vulnerable, as you said, Chairperson, since 2012, the Human Rights Commission has dedicated a commissioner to promote and protect children's rights, and I then took over last year in January. In this financial year, we've decided to have violence as one of our running themes. As such, we will be conducting research on trafficking in persons, because we do not realize how serious human trafficking is, particularly children. And as South Africans, we sometimes think that, oh, trafficking is maybe bringing a child from Mozambique, from Botswana. It's happening here, provincially. Children get taken from rural areas. They are taken to the cities. They are used as sex slaves, sometimes as domestic workers, and it is serious. We are attending to it. And in November this year, we will be holding a full conference so that we talk about it and we see how we can tackle that. Now, when we receive criminal complaints, we must take them to SAPS because it is not within our mandate to prosecute criminals. But it is important that we work with SAPS to make sure that when they receive complaints from children, see, we are working on getting our children to know that there's a police station, I can go there. There is the South African Human Rights Commission. I can go there and complain. So when these children get to the police station, we need policemen that are trained and that are sensitive, that they know that a child needs to be handled in a different way. There's also the issue of children with disabilities, which is very, very serious. And when a child that is deaf goes to a police station, we need police that can speak sign language. But we know we are far from that, but we are working on it. We've signed a memorandum of understanding with SAPS, and we will be working with them to make sure that the training that is required happens. We are also lobbying to be designated.
I would wish you to take us to this point where you say to us, are you getting what you want to get? Are you getting the tools that you require to do this work? because that's what we want to work on. Now ours is no longer to have all the other theoretical hours to say, is there budget for what you want to do to protect these children? If these police, what makes these police, because our duty is to approach the Minister of Police as this portfolio committee and say, this is what you said, having been given this mandate, but you can't effect your mandate. We want to look into your constraints and try as a portfolio committee to unlock that. That's what we, and also if you could assist us with the extent, are we making an impact with the efforts you are telling us? Is this being reduced? Is there a feeling that children are, or where they are they feeling that they are protected?
Thank you, Chairperson. And that is why we welcomed this opportunity to come and talk to this portfolio committee. So let me go then to the interventions. In January last year, we launched a national campaign to increase awareness of the rights of the child. That is our task. Our task is to promote the rights of children, to protect the rights of children, and to intervene when those rights are being violated. So those are the three parts of our mandate. So we are working with key stakeholders such as the Department of Social Development, they are partners of ours, and civil society organizations. You see, Chairperson, civil society organizations are important because they come from the people that we are here to serve, and they will tell us when we are wrong. They will tell us when we are doing our work. So we work closely with civil society organizations. And then we developed a child-friendly complaints handling procedure so that everybody within the commission, by the way, Chairperson, we have offices in 9 provinces. And in every one of those offices, we have child-friendly receiving rooms where a child can come in and sit with a person that will talk to them, that will take them seriously, and that will listen to them. Because our children need to know that we are concerned and that we protect them. And then we've got materials. We've, of course, had to develop child-friendly materials like coloring books. So we teach children their rights through those materials. And then, we've talked about the child-friendly spaces. And then we have an expert committee because in terms of our Act, the South African Human Rights Commission Act, Section 11, we are expected to establish special committees made up of experts from all spheres. So we get experts from civil society, we get experts from NGOs that deal with children matters. And then, Chairperson, we have been engaging with the Speaker of Parliament in order to get this parliament to set up a multi-party caucus on children. So we will need help with pushing that forward. We sent another follow-up at the beginning of this year, and I think I've got the letter here. So we need help. And then we hold ongoing dialogue. And one intervention that we did recently on the 16th of June, I was in Soweto together with Bongim Kabela from Nelson Mandela Children's Fund and other stakeholders and the children themselves. And these children came from A.B. Tuma Primary School. I don't know if members will remember the case where children were being abused by somebody that was supposed to protect them. And those children were telling us, in fact, it's a very nice program that we are running. Those children have developed their own posters, so we did not interfere. So they told us, these are the places where we do not feel safe. And this is where we want you as a Human Rights Commission, you as parents, and you as teachers. This is how we need you to intervene. And then we do unannounced site visits to centers where children are being cared for so that we can hold whoever is running them accountable.
Chair, I'm not going through to go through our mandate. Let me go through.
Maybe we need to honestly stop there, because I want to allow members to somehow ask questions from you. So some of your time is going to be allocated to that, because honestly, you have not actually said to us how helpful this has been. We'll come back. We have seen you, we have read about the budget you're talking about.
Okay.
But also the department is going to be very central. Kony, are you still there? Kule nto yengane ngoba kuzofuneka sincediswe kule yokuthi ikhona inguqu. Are there changes that are taking place? And okwesibini, we don't want to run away kule era where we have seen within a week this one has been raped by a boyfriend of the mother, this one was left with an uncle that was buried in a shallow grave. We are very much worried. We're panicking. So we want a reassurance as to moving away from the routine. And we would want UDDG to really, UKONI to really take us out of this quagmire and say to us, this is how we're going to do it now. Because the people are actually waiting for today to say to the people, if your children are not safe, Parliament is saying this is what must happen. But Parliament is not supposed to pronounce on something that is not achievable and on something that is not realistic. We want to be specific. So can I allow honorable members to pose a question on Human Rights Commission dealing with children? We have sent the right people, Honorable Daddy.
Thank you. I'm just looking at your partnering with CSOs to advance the rights of children. And obviously, one of the things we'd want to know as a committee is, are CSOs themselves, what challenges they're having, and is there something that we should be intervening in there in terms of whether it's legislation or any other kind of delivery issue? So basically, the community situation, they've got their constraints, and obviously if you're partnering with them, those constraints become your constraints. The other thing would be that having offices in 9 provinces, we know how huge these provinces are, which means it's not really a pop-in situation for people. And if you could just enlighten us around those difficulties and how you see yourself overcoming that and where we can play any kind of part in that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, thank you very much, Commissioner, for the presentation. In our communities, we see the children being kidnapped daily, and it is very sad because my question to you is, are there any mechanism or tracking system that can be placed with a safe person, a safe house, a safe child, when the child is kidnapped within seconds, minutes, that there will be an alert system going off? I've seen some advertisement of a certain watch that is attached to the child. But then there's also how safe is safe, because these things happen, kidnaps happened with parents, with family members very close to the children. So what can be done to make sure that our children are very safe? Do we need to go, Chairperson, as far as implanting a chip that can't be removed? Because it doesn't matter what mechanism you have with the children, these things happen right in the house. Also, CSOs, how are they assessed to know that safe is safe? Because you find that you place your child sometimes in a safe place, but it's there where your child is kidnapped. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the Commissioner. I wanted to, one of her opening sentences, she spoke about the Human Rights Commission's, one of its chief focus areas is to hold to account departments in terms of their roles and responsibilities. But you see, I think I've got a fundamental problem in the fact that I often express here at Parliament that issues of gender-based violence is not on the radar of most departments, whether it's police, whether it's health, whether it's even the Department of Social Development or Women. So I wanted to ask whether, which are these departments that she spoke about in terms of holding them to account, because I see them acting with impunity most of the time. So, I mean, I've often addressed the issue of gender-based violence with the Department of Social Development because I always feel that it's not a focus area at all. And then I wanted to ask, you see, the problem with fighting gender-based violence or protecting children's rights is the fact that government has got an ad hoc approach and each institution and each body is sort of doing their own thing. So whether it's the Human Rights Commission or the Commission for Gender Equality, everybody is working in silos. And previously we had proposed, or President Zuma had proposed in one of his SONA speeches, that we should have a national council against gender-based violence. And I still maintain that having an overarching body that would drive policy to fight gender-based violence, in particular abuses of children, would be a better approach than each of these commissions working in silos and departments working in silos. So I wanted to know whether she would agree that we should have an overarching body to drive these type of interventions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much to the Commissioner for the presentation. I just am seeing what the Commissioner has presented as the interventions of the Commission in terms of the scourge of the violence against children, and would like to know if in the Commission's thinking, if there is enough capacity, because we see that this scourge is increasing instead of lessening. In the commissions where the commission sits, does the commission think that there is enough capacity in especially the Department of Social Development to deal with what it has to deal with in terms of this, to actually ensure that we actually make a dent in the scourge that is taking place? Thank you, Chair.
Well, indeed, these questions are not necessarily to the presenter only, because the department has to actually respond, because we talk of CBOs, NGOs, or all those community-based issues, but we still have children having to be. The Eastern Cape case, Spooms, where a child who was actually retarded was constantly being abused. And we were talking about someone who was in court having raped her stepchild 100 times. We also know in our villages, children are so much abused that they actually become retarded for long times. And our system within the department is not active. I can point cases where the school will say, we went to social workers to say this child is being abused. Nothing. There was no report to the school, nothing. So we put it to the department now to actually say, what are they doing? Nenza ntoni, nina bala malungelo abantwana.
Chairperson, thank you very much for those questions. And it is good that I am here with social development in one room. And those questions are very serious. So I don't want us to just glance over them and try and give answers. I will try and respond to some of them. But I think it would be a very good idea, Mr. Tony Uti, when we leave here, we get together, we address these questions, and we send an adequate response to the Portfolio Committee. And the Portfolio Committee can then interrogate our responses and call us back, because that is the only way that we will be held accountable.
so that we are reminded that you were with us on the 4th of July. You've sent us response. You said you were going to do this and this and that. Because, Chairperson, it is said that when, as the South African Human Rights Commission, we hold hearings, because we do hold hearings, because in terms of our act, in terms of the Constitution, we have a mandate to call to account departments that are supposed to deliver services that affect the human rights of the people of this country. Some of the departments become unresponsive to a point where we will have to subpoena a department to come and sit with us and talk to us. Now, that is not right. Because if we are concerned about human rights, if we say we are a constitutional democracy based on human rights, we should be holding hands where we are mandated to look after those rights. So I will appeal that we get together with social development and address some of those questions. Because then we can start addressing the ad hoc approach of working in silos.
Thank you very much. Let's leave it now. I'll come to the provinces in a minute, but I just want the department to actually say something here now, especially in relation with the questions asked by the members of parliament, because indeed the Human Rights Commission as a chapter 9 is conducting an oversight. We are also overall conducting oversight. That's the reason why we are actually standing on one side. We think that's the reason why we wanted you to be here as a commission when we actually asked these questions from the department. Now that these matters are happening, can you share with us whether you know about these things that are out there as national now, before we go to the province, because in the provinces there are specific issues where these matters take place in their villages. So they know better than us here at the, but we want the department to say to us now in this parliament, have you heard about Mtwalume? Did you see that woman crying? Have you seen what is happening? So if yes, what prompt action have you taken, particularly that social workers at the really, really parts where we discharge our services are not visible? And if there are few, if there are none, if they don't have budget, they will always say there's no car. They will always not be there. So there are issues that we must ask about at a very wide level, where these rapes and where these women are crying for a soldier to lean on.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. Yes, what has been presented by the Human Rights Commissioner is what is exactly happening. And the department is fully aware of all the media reports and all the things that are happening around rape and kidnapping of children and also exploitation of children. I must say, Chairperson, that it means as a society, South Africa as a whole, there's something we are missing in terms of protecting our children. And any nation that is not prioritizing its children is a dead nation. Why am I saying this? Because the issue of child abuse, child exploitation, and the killings of children, you will agree with me, Honorable Chair and members, that it happens to children by those who are very close to them. And it happens in a very closed environment. It is only known when something has already happened to the public. That is why you will find that as a society or as government institutions and civil society, we are reactive to what has already happened. Now, we need to change that to say,
For us to ensure that we protect our children, we need to strengthen the prevention mechanism and the early intervention by strengthening families and supporting parents. Because if you can ask the question, where is the parent when all these things happen? Because a child is born out of a parent. It means parents are becoming vulnerable. They can't take charge of their own situations in terms of supporting and protecting their children. But also there are external factors that are affecting parents or families to take charge of that responsibility. Now, where do the state come in and the other community members? As a state, we need to provide adequate support. I agree that social workers are not enough. We have been coming to this committee talking about social workers that are not enough, social workers that we have trained, we are unable to employ and absorb because of the inadequate resourcing of the sector itself. It's a reality, Chairperson, that we need to confront as a society. And until where we have adequate social workers, adequate funding to support civil society organizations, because civil societies, they do want to help, but at some point, resources are not adequate for them to also support these families, to support these parents, to support, you know, the entire children sector in terms of, you know, protecting our children. We do have adequate, you know, legal environment as a country and policy environment. Yes, we need to amend there and there, but we can't complain now about inadequate legislation. It's now on the implementation to say, how then collectively do we change things around? We have been implementing programs, bits and pieces. One honorable member also suggested that the coordination mechanism is not that strong. Yes, in the children's sector, we do have coordination mechanisms where we include civil society, but we cannot claim it is yielding better results because the evidence is there that problems are still continuing. Our children are still vulnerable. Our children are still abducted. Their children are still trafficked within and outside the country. But then what is it that we're not doing right? We did studies also to check the structural determinants to say exactly what is the problem. And the issue of a family is coming out tops in those recommendations. So for me, it's a societal responsibility. You can have all the other institutional mechanisms, but the underlying matter is a family institution. It doesn't matter how it's structured, because in South Africa, we've got different forms of families. But that very family needs to take charge and protect its own people, including the most vulnerable, which are children. So I agree that we need something different to really have an approach that will begin to say, how do we turn around the child protection system to be able to protect our children at an early stage, at the prevention level within, with parents, with families, so that they can fight for their own children. Because if you wait for a social worker is not in the home at night, social worker is not in the home during school holidays, the social worker will only come when there's a case reported and it's already late because something has happened. So we need to turn around and say, if we have to adopt a ward-based approach, now, how is that going to help us? How then do we conceptualize the ward-based approach to begin to say, we need to know who is staying within that ward? What type of family structures are there? Because your profile will begin to pick up and say, in family household X, this is what is happening. So that you begin to have preventative and educational programs that will assist that situation. That's what I can say for now, Chairperson. I'll still have a presentation, but it's not something that you don't know that I'm going to talk about when I present. So we might as well have a discussion on how then do we move forward to change the situation around. Thank you, Chairperson.
Well, thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to support my colleague, Ms. Filikazi, around some of the issues, because I think I'm not talking as a lawyer, one of the issues that we need to get right is the implementation of the Children's Act from in our departments. All the mechanisms are there. To start another unit within the oversight body to become operational now, I have problems with that.
Then they've held us to account and do the oversight work properly. And you know, in terms of Children's Act, they will never have a designated social worker to work with child protection. That's within the Children's Act. So I think we must just get first our own act together and see what are the issues that we must do. Go and institute and go and execute those issues. One simple example, someone asked about offices all over. There are local offices in all our provinces of social development. That must be your first point of call. The second point I want to make, we see the missing link in every child, in all our institutions, in our child and youth care centers, children who are in conflict with the law. The one fundamental common denominator is missing fathers. They make children and disappear. And those children become criminals. They murder other children. They land in our institutions from young, and later they're going to graduate to prison. And we have a huge prison population. I'm saying this, I've seen it in front of me. Our places are overcrowded. It's flowing over all our children in the cassettes. So the point I want to make, I think it's important to just really go look at the child, Children's Act, and to look at the Child Justice Act, and to start to continue with the Department of Justice and all other departments to have our child, children's forums in place in all our provinces. You know, let me just make another point, Chairperson. Our children's courts are under-resourced. There are no magistrates. So instead of spending money, I'd get more magistrates in the children's courts so that cases can be properly processed and children's protection can be carried out. So I think we must just please get our priorities, I think, straight. And as I think as the Department of Social Development, I think we're just there to assist, to be the front. And we have a statutory role. And I mean a statutory, as per remter, as man, you know, as a mandate for us. So let us go carry out that mandate, I think. Thank you, Chief.
Can I call on Eastern Cape? I understand members would indicate when you want to say something, but I think we need that this information is Koni, because it's not supposed to be from us. This is what we know, this is what we live in our constituencies, but indeed we want to have a feel as to you in the driving seat, what is happening and what you envisage. I don't know, Secretary, whether Usiya, who is our researcher, had anything that she wanted to contribute, because portfolio committees have got researchers that enable us to know particularly statistics, and we always link this with other countries. It was really worrying when we were now being equal to Western India, etc. When you see what's happening to children there and what's happening in this country, South Africa. So we need indeed to actually try and check whether this act is being implemented. And we must, because you know, we are an oversight, we are not going to fold arms when other departments are not doing their work. And we can't go to those departments. We can only go to the leader of the business. We can only go to the speaker of the parliament and say, this is what is we are suffering. Because as long as the children are not cared for, there's no future for this country. And we must be preoccupied with that. We can't be pointing fingers at this stage, but we want departments to come clean, to come up front and say, it's important, it's a mission that we're not achieving. And not sit here and believe that we make oversight, so much was spent, and so much has not been spent, but we must be able to say, whatever is in place is not enough. We are not achieving the noble goal. So the department is not achieving this goal. We are not working for hours or whatever, but we want introspection that says all of us who are involved, we must go out today and say this is what we want to happen. We must be able to address the plight of our children out there. You know, I listened to that woman who said
The child crying, ukolo, sorry, I'm sorry, leave me alone. When the child had done nothing, was being raped at 18 months. By a person who the mother trusted. By boyfriends. So can I allow Eastern Cape?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think I would agree with my colleagues that spoke before me that the biggest challenge, we all know that, is resources for us to get enough social workers. But the problem of building a strong family cannot lie only on social development. That is where we should get other departments to know that caring for our children is everybody's business. And the parents that keep on neglecting their work, because where is the parent if the honorable member is suggesting that we should get, we should install chips on our children? Where are the parents? What are they supposed to be doing? I think we must stress on the other departments, partnership in building families, because that is where it is happening. Children are abused by family members. Children are abused in the same communities where they stay. That's all I would say, Chair.
Honorable MEC.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and House. I want to concur with the previous speakers in their analysis of the challenges we are experiencing within provinces. I think it was early last year, we had an instance where a young boy, I think he was 6-7 years old, Kutwan, was stabbed to death because he was defending his mother from being raped. That's how bad things are. And the mother was actually taking him to school early in the morning. It was around about 7-8 o'clock, whilst everybody was out on the street. It was not even in the evening or during the night time. But safe to say, Chair, that I think the rural character of our provinces also presents, you know, certain challenges which are quite different from your urban setting. It presents, you know, peculiar conditions, you know, which makes it difficult to have a one-size-fits-all approach. And sometimes I am of the opinion that in analyzing the problem, because if you want to have an effective intervention, you really need to understand what is it that you are dealing with. And I am of the opinion that we are not doing enough work, really analyzing sometimes the conditions within our communities, especially within communities in rural areas, in villages. The second point I want to make, Chair, is I think the current programs are not effective because it's as if we are competing. You know, one department will come with a program without consulting with another department, and also without taking into account and cognizance what has already been done within that community. So the issue of integration, the issue of coordination becomes critical. Where you become aware of it is on a ward base. You know, when you operate on the level of a ward, you then become aware that there are a number of interventions, but the impact cannot be felt because of the disjointed manner in which those programs or interventions are actually implemented. And the whole issue of coordination, working in silos is not assisting us. And then I think my last point was, it's also just to re-emphasize the importance of family structures. Because primarily, you know, social workers and other interventions is supposed to augment. But our problem, in our own assessment in province, locally, is the integration, or let me say, no, not the integration, but the fact that we don't have solid families. And that primary role leaves a gap and a space. And external, whether it's departments or institutions, can only come that far. And I want to agree that we should really look into an approach where all government departments, NGOs, zoom in into the core, which is strengthening your family structure. Thanks, sir.
And as we're coming back to honorable members, I think there is something that we have not said anything. Our parents that you're complaining about still in charge of families. Do we really have instilled norms and values to our own children, the future of South Africa? Because sometimes there seems to be the family unit not being in the center of the lives of our children, which is our future. For example, in schools, when there's a school, very few schools in developed areas of our country will write to a parent to say there will be no school tomorrow. Children won't be coming to school. Others, it's just a decision that is there. When school is out, children are actually dispersed and they go without any awareness that they are coming back home or they are going to school. They are not accompanied. Really, I want to concur with the rural approach. That's where children are actually not cared for. They go to school on their own, they come back, who is in the class, who is not in the class, is not a known factor. The issue of the parents and the respect that is given to families at a village level in rural areas is not there. Secondly, you have mentioned something very important, the structure of the families throughout South Africa, which is, because of our past, is very different. There's none that is similar. Either due to tribal groupings, ethnic groups, etc., church ideologies, they've got no system that is there about how to look after a young person, how to actually nurture a future South African. So our task becomes beyond social development, but I must also say, very definitely, Sisconi, Western Cape position, Magyandi, the issue of multidisciplinary. It is really true, but unfortunately, the legacy of Dr. Zola Skweyiya remains a challenge, where he says social development has to champion this. Social development has to generate, to be a cookhouse for policies that will shape
the future of South Africa in terms of citizenry. So this is not happening at all. This role of orientating and socializing young people is left to no one. Can you, I heard something about a man who circumcises children in the Eastern Cape, a man who said to be staying as Durban and is doing this, but he has gone more than 8,000, but can't be arrested. Police can't get him, community can't tell them where this man is, but he continues to actually kill this young man. While he's abusing our children, using a culture. And the very parents, and he gets discharged from court because no one comes to testify. So it means our society has reached a stage of the lowest level of consciousness to protect our own. And if we can't protect our own, we don't have a future. One last thing that I would like the provinces to pronounce on. Are we still having this same objective and approach, or maybe to put it in a way, in another way, are these NGOs still the relevant types of NGOs? Given the fact that, yes, we do fund them, I know the challenges where they cannot be funded, etc., etc. But I will ask one question. Some were faith-based, or YMCA and others. Some were community-based, etc. But today we have got new generation, that of, you've got traditional leaders who are actually running a long line with the democratic government as traditional governance. They are actually sometimes effective where they are. Are we actually making use of their platforms, whether they are traditional authorities? Because you will find these poems white door. No one ever goes to the white door. When people are confronted, they go to the great place, and report their matter, and the community sits there and discuss the matter. Others go to the police, but we continue funding the green door, the white door. No one goes there. And even the arrangement of how you are being managed there does not seem to be networking with the existing community support that would be. Is our focus in directing the little budget talking to these people? Une traditional authority, une mkankos, une nkos, une king. You've got all these. Let's go back. You've also got churches. They don't seem to be much being engaged of late. Rather, I can see that we have actually deviated a little, that the missionary work that used to be there is no longer tilted to that. Ikawe, they exist now as organizations more than their role to look after the poor and the vulnerable in support of their government. There is a little gap of there. How they deal with children, they even pull children away from government to them as an organization, which I think happens because we're not consistently reminding them of the missionary work, the core thing called mission, to develop people, to prevent suffering. It's now about when you die. So you want to ensure that you go to heaven. But you don't want to work hard here to ensure that no one is going to be going to hell. The last part of it, I'm looking at structural arrangement. The schools and the government. The government program in a school. Look how we have lost the idea of food security in schools. No school garden, nothing.
buy food from, because we've got budget, we can go buy old food, bread that was not used last night in the shop, you buy for our children in the so-called feeding scheme. So I'm aligning this with the, are we now having, are these partners we used to have relevant? Because I think justice here is about charging people, investigation by police, arrest. But it's not about preventive and promotive. The issue here is preventive and promotive. Ensure that this does not happen, then you won't need justice. But the issue of social workers is long overdue. If we are to fight social ills, the portfolio committee must say to us, if this is the situation, this is what seems to be occurring in various provinces, and I will allow other provinces before the honorable members, we're moving towards finalizing, because we still have going to be informed as to our progress. We are actually including every other presentation that relates to the Children's Act. But the issue of SASA is the most important one, because if they our vulnerable are not getting what is due to them on the due date, because they go and call order there, they loan food, now they can't pay that food, they'll go back to hungry, and human rights will be in a serious problem. So that will be the last, and our feedback is going to come from provinces as to who has not been paid, how much are those who have not received from SAPO, all those, but these should be the last ones. But for me, I'm still looking for provinces to make their input as to how do they think our partnership should be in terms of this sketch.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I will not differ much to what has been said by my MCs from the provinces. To indicate, I'm just going to talk specifically about that case that the Honorable Chair referred to, of the child who was raped by his stepfather over the period of 5 years, and also the fact that the child was denied schooling because she was not even attending school. I think one needs to attribute and acknowledge the role that was played by the community, because the fact of the matter is that the department and government will definitely not succeed in working alone on this issue. There is a role that needs to be played by families, but also I want to highlight the role that needs to be played by our communities. It is the community that identified that incident. And also to also acknowledge the role that is played by media, because it's community and media that actually brought the case into our attention. But Honorable Chairperson, I must indicate that it was disappointing to us to learn that this case was known. And somewhere along the line, because it was sent by an NPO, had faltered, and somewhere along the line did not provide protection to this child. It's a child that was failed by the system. But we have acted promptly and provided and moved the child to one of our child and youth care centers, and it's under the supervision of the department, the placement, and is being subjected to therapeutic services. And we are also conducting a full-scale investigation on how many other cases have been neglected by that CPO. But generally, I don't differ. It's an issue that each and every role player needs to participate and actively play in protecting our children. And also, Honorable Chairperson, just to indicate that in the province of KwaZulu-Natal,
we are operating using a ward-based model where we have a social worker or a group of social workers operating in a particular ward. But I must say that whilst we have seen gains, when we calculate the social worker, we also calculate the social workers from the child protection organizations that are funded by the department, because at the main, they are rendering similar services. But I must indicate that while we are seeing the gains of that program combined with the program of Operation Sukumasakhe, that is which is the implementation or service delivery approach in the province that is promoting intergovernmental cooperation when we are dealing with incidences or cases or households and communities in a ward. It always remains a reality that the magnitude of social ills in wards, even in wards, they do demand for additional manpower, which I think our DDG from National DSD has indicated. We're trying our best, but the problems in the communities are too vast, even for the resources, because like, for example, with child protection, we desire to have social workers that are just dealing with issues of child protection. Because when we are allocated in the ward, we're also dealing with older persons, we are dealing with disability, all other issues that are happening in the ward, which then also, they're not that focused. But we do appreciate the support from the portfolio committee and our national DSD through the conditional grant for social workers' employment. But we will appeal that we get more, because we still have quite a number of social workers unemployed and we do need them in the system. So basically that is our humble contribution as well to Natal. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Any other province that has not been given an opportunity to address us on this matter? Please be on the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. From Mpumalanga, maybe just to reemphasize what my two colleagues from National Department, Connie, has spoken about, and also KwaZulu-Natal in terms of the ward-based approach. And I think this was sort of based on the integrated service delivery model, where all the departments should be converging at a ward and then be able to map out all the households, know what the issues are. I am made to understand KZN has really done quite a lot of work around that area and sort of successful Operation Sukumasakhe. Yes, but I'm not sure other provinces, and I think that's where maybe we need to try and focus. It's not just about bringing together other departments, but also if you look at the community development workers that are with social development, health has your community health workers. As part of the re-engineering of primary health care, they send out outreach programs, they send out the community health workers there. COCTA also has their community health workers. And we have these different resources, but are we really integrating them? Are we sending different community workers to a household to collect just issues on health or social issues and so on? Shouldn't we bringing these together so that we sort of combine our resources that we always complain about and then be able to make an impact? And also to mention related to that, Vodacom has actually, which we have a sort of truth, the national provincial treasury and sort of agreement with, they've actually gone a long way in terms of developing a solution for outreach community health workers and community development workers. I know they've been had discussions with national social development, but also with the Department of Health, especially in the Eastern Cape, where I was based. And I think that system should be able to actually assist us to map the households and then get regular updates in terms of identify where the households that a child had it are. And once we've identified the vulnerable children in the household, maybe even equip them with the technology. Cell phones, I know at one time, Department of Health, some years back, had about 11,000 cell phones that were donated by the communications company, MTN, Vodacom, and others. those cell phones, I'm not sure how many had been used, they were used in KZN for the TB contact tracing in 2011. And once we identify households in the wards, we can then give those donated house sort of cell phones to the children that are vulnerable so that they can press a button, send a message in case of distress. I think maybe looking at innovations such as that and really building on the work that has been done and has been successful, especially in KZN. Maybe also from Mpumalanga, maybe just to mention some of the programs that we have been trying to implement. The holiday program, which we did, we implemented recently during the school holidays to try and keep the children out of schools. Over six days, actually having our social workers and other officials actually providing programs for children. There's the EVND program where we send out youth and child care workers to households where they also then train the children in terms of how to be safe. The drop-in centers, we also train children there, mostly who are vulnerable sort of and orphan children, what to do in case they feel threatened and unsafe. And there's also the child protection register. We're trying to make sure that it's updated regularly to ensure that no one who is an official and has had problems abusing children is part of us. We're very strong that we have no tolerance at all to our officials abusing children. We're conducting a number of awareness campaigns, including awareness on abusing. I'm sure nationally you would have heard the case of in Witbank where a child, two children were actually hijacked, sort of kidnapped. One was an albino, the other, the baby, they thought was the albino, but it was actually the cousin sister, and they were both killed. We've had the Deputy Minister of Social Development visiting Binari outside Mbombela to actually conduct a workshop to raise awareness. We will also be on Nelson Mandela Day focusing in Witbank on albinism sort of cases. There's also the training of social workers on the management of child abuse and neglect and exploitation sort of cases, and also capacity building for ECD practitioners. And we are trying our best. We do have problems in terms of the resources, especially the number of social workers. Some of them have actually given bursaries by the province, but we're unable to actually absorb them. We, in our province, have also had a moratorium, and hopefully it will be lifted so that we can actually fill up some of the positions. Thank you.
But when you learned, you didn't actually say to us as this portfolio committee, are we reducing the ills that affect our children? Is it in increase or declining? Because that will be a determinant for us to change route. Because seemingly, all these issues that you have placed, I think we have assessed, we have had an oversight, we have met provinces, they have given us a report of all this what we are doing, and we have conducted our annual reports, but seemingly, it seems this issue is escalating. So we don't want to be paranoid. Nor do we want to be really blowing things out of proportion. Can you really say to us, the threat to our future, the children, is decreasing or is increasing? So that we want to propose to you, as implementers, to change, and change for better. And also to now say, all we have done is Mpumalanga, but the fact is, the problem continues to exist. Then what else do we need to do? Because we must overpower. You can't be a country that, to a larger extent, dealt with HIV and AIDS, which could have been a pandemic. But this good government has able to put at least a significant intervention. But this one seems to be
taking us unaware. It's really butchering us. And it's touching where it pains most to the vulnerable. So I want you to say, I understand it, because one simple question would be, KZN, why did we not agree if we have this means and we roll out? Because this means for me remained in those provinces as pilots. And we are actually learning, being informed that good lessons have come out of that program. But none of us is now saying in this meeting, because there is an attempt of holistically looking after children in the form of isibindi, uba isibindi, then we are not talking about how do we then roll it out, learning from those good practices and actually improving on whatever weakness it has when we roll it out to Western Cape, we roll it out to other countries. And where our children are suffering is in our homes, in our churches, in our schools, in our universities. Girls don't get stabbed by boyfriends inside the university. They are shot inside the university where there's a security. So it means there is something that our government must be able to do, and it is this committee that must champion. There's no way to say justice. Justice will come where there's justice that must be declared. Wrongdoing, finding a right, how that child could have been protected. The other department will meet that child when they go to school. Health will meet them when they are out there. I'm saying social development. You came to us, Sisconi, in this parliament, and you said from so many days the child is in the womb to so many days when the child has been born and going forward. But here we are, hold you accountable on what you said to us. So we are saying we are not going to be actually carrying red pens here as politicians. We want to work with you. We want to work with you to those who do not support you. And therefore we want to work with Human Rights and Gender Commission. Go straight to whether it's Treasury, whoever, provided you say these are the lacking tools for you to achieve your goals. But we can't stand up here and go to Treasury and say, give them money for social workers, when we don't know how the actual present social workers are effective. So we want to see the monitoring. How do you monitor that your social workers are doing their work? For example, it is always reaction. We react because we hate. We react because we hate. We are not actually preempting that deed that must happen. Many children will have gone into disaster before we come in. We can't be a government that is not leading but is a tailing. Always, because media have said, we must be able to anticipate. So that's what we want to know at this portfolio committee. And I think Sisconi, the minister, Mr. Sambamba, we want to meet the minister as a portfolio committee, to actually talk to the minister about this meeting that we met. We haven't seen gender, but we have gone to now a gender commission. It doesn't matter because it's the same story that you know. But we didn't want to make an assumption and a thumbs up. Even if they are not here, they know that these are gender issues. So we want to be practical. Is there a right now? Okay, we'll give them just a few minutes to say something, because we are very worried. We are really panicking about the future of, you know, talking about giving sanitary pads. Putting budget for sanitary pads for us is very important. But for a child who is 18 to be raised to a level of dying,
this one is very painful. You know, that mother, when she spoke, she was actually being consoled by another, said, "Umntwana dacela uxolo athi ndixolele." No, we can't be a society that is not sensitive to the cry of a child. That's why you are here in this meeting. We want answers. We want to know. I can't lie to you. I know of a child whose mother died. She was in Ngobo. And then the mother was my neighbor. And when the parents want to take the child after the mother died, those people came to me and said, "Chairperson, somebody is stealing this child. They never cared for the mother." And I agreed. I said, "No, I stand for you. You can't take this child because you don't know the child. The child was raped. The school reported to the social workers at Flagstaff. Nothing. That school said there was never a report. That child is mentally retarded as we speak. And is incontinent of feces and urine. These are practical things we're talking about. One child is enough for us to be serious about what we want to do. That's why we are saying we've been concentrating on the issue of SASA, the issue of grants, but professionally, social development stands for the implementation of the Children's Act and all the other pieces of where we are actually signatories as a country, United Nations, World Health Organization. All those matters must be brought and actually against you as a department and against us, therefore, as a portfolio committee. We can't allow this situation to continue. So we want the department to say, where is the cement? When are you rolling out? What is the issue? Are the social workers lacking transport? Because we do want to get challenges. As guys, woman is some issue. As guys, because specific. Can we have a 5 minute break, please, or 10? Oh, what okay. Can we just have a 5 minute break? Yes, there are small baby loaves there. Kwabantwana bezonka.
It will connect to the gender commission. But the gender commission connects your matters. But you can take a couple of minutes.